Well, good morning. Everybody good? What was that? All right. We got a yeah over there, huh? Glad that you're with us this morning. Hope you feel Jesus here with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I really hope that you do feel welcome and loved in this place. And that blue card is an opportunity for you to register with us. You don't have to do that, but we'd love to know you were here. And there might be a free gift at the end of the service. There might be some cookies coming your way this week. I'm just saying. Robert, you can't register again. Sorry. But if you want to be on our email list, put your email in the little slot, and there's a little check box there. You can check and say you'd like to be on our email list. Lots of things going on. Billy outlined most of those. I want to remind you, keep the registration pads going. Also, you can register online if you'd like to do that. I want to take just a moment before we get into the sermon and talk about Veterans Day and honor our veterans. If you are a retired veteran of the armed forces or even an active person in the armed forces, would you stand and let us recognize you? Amen. Well, keep standing. If you are a spouse, a family member of someone who is in the armed forces and or retired armed forces, stand up with them. Because I consider y'all just as much people that need to be honored. Okay, I'll let you sit down now. You know, my brother-in-law actually called me this weekend, and we were talking some about, he's retired Army, and my father-in-law, who just passed away a short time ago, was retired Air Force, and so got some history there. But he was telling me more, he was teaching me a little bit, that just a quick little lesson, if you don't know, I learned a lot in our conversation. Veterans Day originated as Armistice Day. Today is the 100th anniversary of the first Armistice Day, which was the ending of World War I. And this is the 100th anniversary of that. Now, I remember this as a little kid. I had actually forgotten about it, and he was talking to me about the red poppies. You remember the red poppies? Did you know that there's not a florist in town that we could find a red poppy? I was going to wear a red poppy today, but we couldn't find one. But I remember as a little boy seeing people with those red flowers on their lapels and thinking, what is that all about? Does anybody know about the red poppy? Why that originated? We've got a few folks that do. What I learned was, in World War II, the British soldiers, especially when they were, I think it was in Belgium, when they buried them in this huge cemetery, that the first, as the grass and the flowers and all started growing back, red poppies grew up over those graves. And so that became this symbol of the sacrifice of those soldiers. And so that's the history of the red poppy. So I just want to tell you that we are grateful for our current and past military. We appreciate what you guys do and the sacrifice you make for us. So I hope you feel honored today. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 17. Now, and you can follow along. If I was a young, cool preacher, I would say, turn on your Bibles this morning. But I'm neither young nor cool. It's been pointed out. So you can. What? Somebody's mocking me, and I didn't even hear it. Are you the same lady that did the woo-hoo or whatever earlier? Somebody control that woman over there. John chapter 17. I don't even want to know what she said. John chapter 17. Now, you can follow on the screen, but also in your handout is there. And remember, I started this a few weeks ago at inspired by my brother Robert here. It's in red, which means these are the words of Christ. So Christ is praying. He's coming to the end of his life on this earth, and he's prayed for the disciples that that God would equip them and bless them. So he shifts that prayer from his disciples to this prayer in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Who's he talking about? Us. And that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, back in my prior world, in my computer world, I went to Amarillo, and we were doing some computer work there, and I was making several trips to Amarillo to get some stuff installed and so forth. And I went up there on one particular trip, and there was a whole group of us. There was 10 or 12 of us, and we'd been working hard, and we decided to go out for a meal, and somebody recommended Kabuki Japanese Steakhouse. Those places where the little guys flip things around and everything, you know, and they wear the hat and all that stuff, and then kind of have fun at your table. And we went, and man, we sat around this table, and we had a ball. I mean, it was fun. We didn't set anything on fire or anything. It was great. And we had a great meal, and we all left. And then the next week I was up there, but this time I was by myself, and I was doing some work, and I'd had such a good time, and the food was good at this place, and I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to that Kabuki Japanese Steakhouse. And so I go over there and I registered at the door, and you know, I told the checked in. I said, hey, I'd like to eat. And so they went and set me down at this big grill and everything. And all of a sudden, I guess I'm just slow on the uptake or something. All of a sudden, I realized I'm alone. I mean, this isn't going to be near as much fun. You know, we had 10 or 12 the other day, and here I am. I'm sitting at this steakhouse by myself. And then, to top it off and make it worse, they brought in this couple. This obvious, really quick, it was obvious this little couple was dating. And they set them beside me, like, hi, you know, I'm trying to make play. Hi, how are you, you know. And then they brought in another couple and set them on the other side of me. Hi, how are you? It was obvious they were kind of new in their relationship. And then they brought in a third couple and set them at my table. And so they come in and they take your, so it's me and these three couples, and they're all, you know, fairly new relationship, and I'm sitting there and I'm counting the tiles on the ceiling, and they come and they take our order, and it I'm telling you, that was the longest however many minutes of my life waiting for that little chef guy to come back. They took my order, and these people, they're smooching and they're cuddling and they're doing all this stuff and everything, and I'm kind of, it was awkward. That's a good word. It was really awkward. It was uncomfortable, and it was awkward. Church, we are built for relationship. And I was feeling really awkward by myself. I didn't have anybody to connect to. My little sweetheart was back in Abilene, Texas. We are created for relationship, relationship with God, and relationship with each other. Shake your head if you understand what I'm saying. Now, please don't, if you're single and you go out and eat by yourself, it's okay. I still do that. Just don't go to the Kabuki Steakhouse. Drive through at the Whataburger or something. Do something else, but don't do that. Today, I'm continuing the sermon series, Covenant. And today's message is that we are stronger together. Stronger together. You know, last week we talked a little bit about that word covenant, but just a reminder, when I'm referring to covenant, and when God makes covenant, and the way he's designed it, it's a permanent commitment. That's the first thing. It's motivated. Now, this is really important. Covenant is motivated for the benefit of someone else. It's not for your benefit. Covenant is for, the motive is for someone else, and it's based on an enduring, steadfast love. In other words, it's not about you. Hello. We live in a culture where it's all about you, me. Self-centered culture. But no, covenant, when we start talking about covenant and this thing that God makes with us, it's a permanent commitment. It's for the benefit of the other person, and it's based on enduring, steadfast love. So I want to unpack this scripture. This was not the scripture I started out with that I thought I was going to this morning, but the Lord kind of led me back around to this. First thing I want us to talk about, Jesus Christ calls his followers to unity. And that unity insinuates togetherness, relationship, covenant. It's like a whole bunch of people coming together and being unified. Jesus Christ calls his followers to unity. Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone, speaking of the disciples. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. And y'all said earlier that he's talking about us. And so what is he saying about us? That the many shall be one. That we will be of one mind, one heart, one message. Now, how do we know what that is? How do we know what that unity is? Well, it's a good place to start right here. It's a good place to start is right here. You know, as I say that people, a lot of people can come together and just because there's a whole bunch of people does not mean God's there and God's involved. A lot of people will say, well, golly, look at that church. That's a mega church. They have 5,000 people on a Sunday morning. God's got to be blessing them. Like, you know, back in my day, I went to rock concerts. There was a lot of people. There wasn't a whole lot of God going on. Just because people gather together, just because there's a whole lot of us, doesn't mean that we're unified, doesn't mean that this is a godly thing that's going on, godly covenant. No. But Jesus is calling his followers to unity that's based in him. Secondly, unity proclaims to the world that God sent Jesus. Unity proclaims to the world that God sent Jesus. So again, the words of Christ, he's praying that all of them may be one, speaking of us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And then in verse 23, may they be brought to complete unity that the world may know that you have sent me. There it is again. Twice he says that this unity is to bring him glory so that people know that Jesus is God made flesh. Unity proclaims to the world that not only that God sent Jesus, but who he is. Who he is. The third thing, unity proclaims to the world that God loves them. Unity proclaims to the world that God loves them. Now, God kind of enlightened me on this as I was studying for today. This is a little bit deeper than I had taken this before. Verse 23, may they, us, be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have loved them. So he's saying that the unity says to the world, when people see us and they see that we come together and that we walk through life together and they see us doing it in a godly manner, it is communicating that God loves us. And here's the piece that I grabbed hold of a little deeper today. Even as you have loved me, that not only that God loves us, but the same way that God loves Jesus. Hello. I mean, I'm hoping that grabs hold of you a little deeper than it like it did me. It's like he's not just saying, it's not just this love. It's just like, you know, kind of, oh, like I love the Kabuki Japanese steakhouse. It wasn't one of those kind of love. It's like, no, he loves us the same way he loves Jesus. Jesus is saying, God, the unity, bring them together, make them one. This unity will convey to them that I love them. Not only that I love them, but I love them the way I love you. Is that making sense? So that kind of jumped out at me this week that sometimes we allow the enemy to do this, but sometimes the enemy just beats us up and makes us feel unworthy. It may be things that have happened to us in the past. It may be things that we've done in the past. It may be things that we're currently doing. And the enemy wants to heap shame on us. And Jesus is saying, no, be one. Just come together, be unified so that will communicate to the world that not only that I love the world, but I love them the same as I love Jesus. Irregardless of you know, how we're conducting ourselves. Now, that doesn't give us free rein to go out and just, you know, party hardy till the sun comes up. No, he's also calling us to holy living, to being righteous people. I really felt compelled this week. Last week I talked about this covenant that God makes with us, and that it says in the Word that we are adopted into His family. He made the original covenant. God made the original covenant with the nation of Israel through Abraham, and He adopts us through Christ, through faith in Christ. We are adopted into that. Galatians 3 says it this way: if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise is that God loves us, that God will be our God and we will be His people and that He will bless us. So we are heirs to that promise through Christ. Now, this unity, so this covenant and unity all kind of running together here. I was thinking about a family in our church. Their story just recently, 2 weeks ago today, we were before church happened. Someone came up to me and said that little Ella, part of the Stacy and Jason and Isaac and Luke Acevedo, have little Ella. And if you don't know their story, Ella, the Acevedos are adopting Ella. And they've had her since she was, since she was born. They've had her in their home, and they are in the process. They're this close to having it all finalized. And someone came up to me last week before the worship service and said, Ella, Ella was having trouble, really bad trouble breathing, and was in convulsions, and they have called 911, and the ambulance is picking her up, and she's headed to the hospital. And that was right before church 2 weeks ago. And we immediately, several of us here in church that knew about it, we began to pray. And then during worship, we prayed. I don't know if you remember, but we prayed for her, on a couple of occasions. And then after church, me and several other people went over to the hospital to check on little Ella. And I had the privilege. I consider this, by the way, Jason and Stacy, I consider this a privilege to even be allowed to pray for your sweet little daughter. This is what I saw when I went in to pray for Ella. Go ahead, Lee, and throw up that first picture. Man, I can't even imagine, Jason and Stacy, what you guys were going through. It crushed me to see that little tube going down her throat and everything hooked up. And but I had the opportunity and the blessing to pray with her, and there were several friends, and Billy and Carlene and Cheryl and others were there, and several other people, our prayer team, began to pray, and there were prayers going up all over the place for Ella. And they ended up care flighting her to Cook's in Fort Worth, and this was her on Wednesday, I think. Show that next picture. Yeah. Jason and Stacy, I have their permission to ask them, would y'all let us celebrate with you? Would you bring little Ella up here? Ha, ha, ha. What a precious little girl she is. And you know, I just, can you do a pirouette and let everybody see that precious little thing? You know, I got their permission to, you love little big brother? You know, I got their permission to bring them up here today. And, you know, I was thinking about as we, you know, covenant. It's like, you know, last week when I spoke about how God adopts us and how it's like he's walking through an orphanage and he points to us and he says, I want that one. And then the great love that's behind that selection. And I think about little Ella, they couldn't have any more love for her. You guys, if you can, I know she's getting restless. Now she's showing off. But I tell you, 2 weeks ago, she wasn't able to do that. She was not able to do that. Y'all can, I'll let y'all sit down. Thank you so much. You know, there's when God adopts us and we speak of covenant, it's based on what, you know, benefiting the other person. And I think all the time, you don't know all the story and I don't know all the story, but I know that little Ella, if she had not been selected by God and by the Acevedos, I know her life wouldn't be near as good as it is right now. And they selected her. God selected her for them and for her benefit. And with an enduring, steadfast love for her. And that's and what we can muster in that, how we can do that in our limited abilities as humans, just that much more that God has in store for us when he selects us. He wants good things for us. Unity, covenant, proclaims to the world that God loves us as he has loved Jesus. And Jason asked me to read this. He emailed it to me actually last week, but they, because she was just getting well, they were not able to be here last week with Ella. So I told him I'd hold off and read it when they were able to be back this week. I want to read this from Jason and Stacy. Dear friends, Stacy and I wanted to thank you. I may not get through this either, Jason. He said he couldn't get through it to read it. I wanted to thank you all for your prayers for Ella over the past week. As most of you know, Ella had a severe seizure and had to be airlifted to Cook Children's Hospital in Fort Worth. I never really knew what it felt like to be powerless until I was riding in the back of the ambulance while my baby was having a seizure. And I should point out, if you don't know Jason, Jason's a physician. So it's not like he didn't know anything. I was scared that she would die in my arms. As she and Stacy were being helicoptered to Fort Worth, I had no idea what would await me and feared for the worst. But your prayers were powerful. And Ella went from being sedated and on a breathing machine to back to her normal self within a few days. We are truly moved by the prayers that were coming from Abilene, Sweetwater, Guthrie, Post, Fort Worth, Dallas, Granbury, Friendswood, and Oklahoma City, among other places. Hundreds of people were praying for our baby. Very special thanks go to Joseph and Tandy Young and Mike and Jenny Fernandez. They went above and beyond and truly are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Covenant, body, the body of Christ. Do you hear it in these words? I myself have not always been the best at praying and sometimes wondered if it made a difference. I now know that it does and that God is a loving Father and hears his children. As you will see in the pictures which we've just seen, I don't know how else to explain the miraculous change we saw from Monday morning to Wednesday evening. Sunday night, I was so angry and could not understand why God would let this happen to Ella. But there is this verse that I think explains it, John 9:3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. through your prayers, I believe God's work was displayed in Ella. Thank you all, Jason and Stacy Acevedo. You know, I talk about covenant because it's important. Friends in Christ, we need God and we need each other. I mean, sometimes we rejoice with one another. We rejoice on new births and marriages and promotions and all sorts of things. And sometimes we weep with each other. And we get on our knees for each other. It's called covenant. It's called the unity of the body of Christ. And I've had people, you know, next week we're going to have an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're already a member of our church, you've already made covenant with us and us with you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say once again, I still do. I still do. But I'm also going to give you an opportunity if you've been coming here and you have not made that opportunity, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, no, I want that. I mean, I think about, you talked about the Youngs and the Fernandezes and what all they did, and I saw it myself for y'all in that crisis. It's like, you guys know each other because you're all here. You've made covenant with one another through church and worship and through Sunday school and community groups and all that stuff. It's like we make relationship with each other and we walk through life with each other and God is with us. We need each other. We're stronger together, church. We are stronger together. If you'll just bow your heads with me. And I just want us to thank the Lord for loving us enough that he loves us as he loves Jesus. And he's calling us to be a people of one body, unified. Lord, thank you. I really don't even know why you're even mindful of us. But I always come back to the reason you're mindful of us is because you love us. And I don't even understand that, how you could love a wretch like me. But we are thankful. We're grateful that you love us, but we're also grateful that you give us one another to, Father, to walk through life together. Thank you for that privilege as well. Father, we thank you for the healing you've done in little Ella. We rejoice in that. Father, I can't even imagine how much you must love her and how much you must love us. You are a good God. Praise your name.